The Lord be with you.
And with
you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew. And Jesus said to the 12, "Fear no one. Nothing is concealed that will not be revealed, no secret which will not be made known. What I say to you in darkness, speak in the light. What you hear whispered, proclaim from the housetops. Do not be afraid of those who can kill the body, but cannot kill the soul. Rather, be afraid of the one who can destroy both body and soul in Gehenna. Are not two sparrows sold for a small coin? Yet not one of them falls to the ground without your Father's knowledge. Even all the hairs on your head are counted. So do not be afraid. You are worth more than many sparrows. And everyone who acknowledges me before others, I will acknowledge before my heavenly Father. And whoever denies me before others, I will deny before my heavenly Father." The Gospel of the Lord. This Gospel reading comes from the 10th chapter of the book of Matthew. And if you read through chapter 10, just chapter 10 in Matthew, you will find that Jesus is sending out the 12 and he's giving them instructions as to how to proclaim the kingdom. And the first and most fundamental statement he makes to them is, do not be afraid. Feel the power which is within you. Do not be afraid. Do not fear those who can kill the body, but cannot destroy the soul. You are worth more than many sparrows. You are named, you are personally identified in the mind of God. So have no fear. Have no fear as you go forth to proclaim the kingdom. In some ways, it's meant to reach out and to touch a person who is confused or struggling or uncertain, feeling insecure about life, heavily burdened perhaps through an experience of death or sickness or reversal or some great rejection in life, where life is on the margins, very close to losing its value, where life can be overwhelming. That's what this gospel is speaking about. So let me reflect on how this is meant to touch us in everyday experiences of life. Henry Nouwen, in his beautiful book, Our Greatest Gift, tells this story. On one occasion, he was at the circus in Germany, and he was fascinated by the trapeze artists. They were called the Rodley Brothers. He was so fascinated that when the circus finished, he went by to see these two fellows afterwards. He told them how amazed he was at their agility and the manner in which they performed the trapeze. They became friends, and they asked him if he'd like to travel with the circus to get to know how they live. And he did. He traveled with the Rodley Brothers. And he noticed that there's a flyer and there's a catcher, asking them to explain the manner in which this works. The first brother said, I'm the flyer. I have to just fly. If I try to grab Joe, the catcher's wrists, I will break his wrists. I have to just fly and believe that Joe, the catcher, will catch me. He has to have this absolute confidence that when he flies freely, Joe, the catcher, will catch him. He uses that in his book to indicate this is the presence of God in your life. That's the power of Jesus Christ in your life. And he tells his disciples, don't be afraid, fly. Jesus is the catcher. You are named. You are worth more than many sparrows. And therefore, in your time of crisis, when you're discouraged, you're confused, you're uncertain about the future, he tells his disciples, do not be afraid to proclaim the kingdom. Now, I was looking for some stories that Jesus told stories. That's the manner in which he revealed the kingdom. So I thought I'd maybe invoke some stories to give you some insight into how this gospel really comes alive. In 1950, no, I don't know which year, a few years ago, Pope Francis addressed the Joint Houses of Congress. And in his address to the Congress, he mentioned four Americans who had a great impact on our social order. He mentioned Lincoln, and then Thomas Merton, the monk from Gethsemane. And any of you who have read Merton will understand the impact he had on the soul of our country. The third one was Martin Luther King. Powerful impact on our social order. And the last one was Dorothy Day. So let me reach into the stories of Dorothy Day. She was born in 1897, and she died in 1980. She was 83 years old. But as a young woman, she was reckless. She lived a bohemian life. She had many relationships. When she was 22 years old, she had an abortion. And later on, when she goes through her conversion, she says, that was the great tragedy of my life. Some years later, she was involved in a very stable relationship, and she gave birth to a daughter, Tamar. At that time, she was becoming very spiritual in her life. She was 30, 31 years old. And she decided to become a Catholic. And the father of the child, of the little girl, fiercely resisted her becoming Catholic or having the child baptized in the Catholic Church, and therefore he abandoned her. She was out there by herself now. No money, no job, very few friends, desperate and uncertain of the future. And in her beautiful book, The Long Loneliness, she speaks about this, that during this period of extraordinary isolation and darkness in her life, one occasion she went to Washington, D.C. to report on a hunger march. And while she was there, she was so desperate and so alone, she went to the Basilica of the Immaculate Conception, this extraordinary church in Washington, D.C. In her confusion and her doubts, here's how she describes what happened to her. My prayer was wrenching naked. She goes on to say how bare was her helplessness, spilling over into confusion, her doubts, her fears, her temptations to bitterness and despair. In essence, she said, speaking to God, I have given up everything that ever supported me. In trust to you, I have nothing to hold on to. You need to do something for me soon. I can't keep this up much longer. This was her prayer, speaking from what she calls her desert. She was alone, without support, helpless before a chaos which threatened to overcome her. And God steadied her in her chaos. That night, she caught a train back to New York. She speaks about that. As she walked toward her apartment, right outside her front door was Peter Maurin. Together, they met on that occasion, and the rest is history. They began the Catholic Worker, and she flourished in the ministry of the Catholic Worker. And she goes on to say, in her time of crisis, God was her catcher. It was her deep down belief that God would show her a redeeming experience where she could embrace her real mission in life. She goes on with Peter Maurin to develop the Catholic Worker and has an extraordinary impact on our culture, inspiring many, many persons. Now, as a young woman, as a young Catholic, she had great conflict with the church, with Cardinal Spellman in New York. And they were divided on many, many important things. That's the church, way back there. Now, there is a movement in New York Archdiocese to promote her for sainthood. It's how God works. God is a catcher. God speaks through miracles, miracles we don't expect, miracles that come only in a time of great darkness and crisis. And Martin Luther King, in his marvelous book, which he wrote in 1955, called Stride Toward Freedom. And this setting is in Montgomery, Alabama, when Rosa Parks would not give up her seat, black woman that she was, she would not give up her seat on the bus to a white person. We all remember that. It was a defining moment in our culture by this exceptional woman, Rosa Parks. And of course, Martin Luther King was there being a leader of Reformation. And this is how he speaks about it in his book, Stride Toward Freedom. One night, he said, toward midnight, he received a phone call. An angry voice said to him, "Listen, nigger, we have taken all we want from you. Before next week, you will be sorry you ever came to Montgomery." He said, "I hung up, but I couldn't sleep. It seemed that all my fears had come down on me at once. I had reached a saturation point. I got out of bed and began to walk the floor. And finally, I went to the kitchen and heated a pot of coffee. I was ready to give up. With my coffee sitting untouched before me, I tried to think of a way to move out of the picture without appearing to be a coward. In this state of exhaustion, when my courage had all but gone, I decided to take my problem to God. With my head in my hand, I bowed over the kitchen table and I prayed aloud. The words I spoke to God that midnight are still vivid in my memory. And he spoke, I am here taking a stand for what I believe is right, but now I am afraid. The people are looking to me for leadership, and if I stand before them without strength and courage, they too will falter. I am at the end of my powers. I have nothing left. I've come to the point where I can't take it alone. And at that moment, I experienced the presence of the divine as I had never experienced before. And of course, he went on to his prophetic ministry to which God had called him, and he sacrificed his life, assassinated in 1968. These are stories that we should remember. They're not just stories from the past, they're stories in the present day. There are stories for all those who struggle, who are discouraged in life, who can't find meaning, an experience of death or sickness or divorce or some great reversal or some great rejection, some judgment made upon you in life. That's what this gospel speaks to. It may not speak to everybody right now, but it speaks to everybody at some time in our lives. And whoever you are out there, and whatever your struggles are, the things that overwhelm you, the things you fear in the future, go back and read chapter 10 in the book of Matthew when Jesus says, "Do not be afraid." Every hair in your head has been numbered. You are worth more than many sparrows. And keep in mind, always, that Jesus is the catcher. Amen.